The Fan on Demand. Go to fan590.com and sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights.
How about this one? Cornwall, Ontario is the worst hole in Canada. Let's move the Ticats to Cornwall.
Am I supposed to respond to that?
He doesn't always play nice. He's the one that calls like a tailor. He's the one that makes Crystal Nation, awaken. Andrew Crystal in the morning on Toronto Sports Radio. The Fan 590.
8:03 on The Fan 590. Damian Cox joins us. Damian Cox is chilling out at the NHL Board of Governors meetings in Palm Beach, Florida. And Damian Cox is our insider.
The Fan 590 NHL Insider. Brought to you by Sisley for Honda, 88 Steeles Avenue West.
Damian Cox, author of The Ovechkin Project, is here. NHL Board of Governors meetings kicked off yesterday in Palm Beach, Florida, between shrimp cocktails. Damian Cox, it's time to talk to us. What's going on in Phoenix? We have salvation?
Hey, it's a little early in the morning for shrimp cocktails, by the way.
Come on. The star told me on your expense, last year was like $300 or something for shrimp cocktails.
All I knew is every time I go
and
to
you
the,
went
bar,
to the union. You went to the union.
And they shower me with gifts.
You went to the union who protected you. Otherwise, it was full exposure. Hey, Damian, tell me about Phoenix. They're really going to keep it there?
Well, all the signals, I guess, are positive, optimistic, depending on your point of view on this sort of thing. Michael Holsizer is the guy who wants to own it. He heads a group of investors. The NHL loves him. They said absolutely, they've got open arms for him. Now, he's still got the business of working out the lease to take yet more money from the taxpayers of Glendale, Arizona. They haven't yet approved it. Even yesterday he was saying, well, I've got most of it worked out. I think part of the deal yesterday was getting the NHL to basically approve him to put a little bit more pressure on the politicians there. That meeting's next week. We'll see how he does then. But it looks as though he's going to buy the Coyotes and keep them in Phoenix.
But with Phoenix, it's kind of like the military analogy of financial Vietnam, or should I say financial Afghanistan, to update a Sisyphean pathetic waste. What do you do? What do you do? You've got this huge white elephant. If the Coyotes aren't there, what do you do with it?
Well, you know, it's one of those problems that we're seeing now with the NBA, with the NBA buying the New Orleans Hornets. You know, leagues are getting stuck in these situations where once you might fold a team, nobody wants to do that anymore, so you just keep trying. They're losing about $20 million a month in Phoenix and drawing the fewest fans of any NHL team. And so it's right now anybody looks at that situation and say, how in the world can you pull that thing back and even make it a break-even proposition? This guy thinks he's got a plan. He thinks that once they settle ownership down, people will turn out numbers. I would have thought this year, with a winning team coming off last year's playoffs, people would have gone out. It looks bleak. But then we've seen other situations come back, Washington being the best situation, where the Leafs were last night. They used to draw flies, got a star player. They now have sellouts. So, you know, this guy says he's got a plan. The NHL clearly does not want to move it. And the good news for Phoenix is that Long Island is now the biggest disaster in the league and not Phoenix.
All right. So healthy teams are Canadian teams, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Although I think there's some worrisome signals in Ottawa. Last week I was there for the Danny Heatley return game, not a sellout. Talk about how many free tickets they're giving out in Ottawa, which is kind of an interesting situation. But basically, yeah, if you're a healthy team, you're in Canada.
Well, one of the problems with Ottawa is not only does the town stink, but there's so many white-collar workers who don't have any particular loyalty. I mean, there's basically Leaf and Habs fans there, right? There's the odd Senators fan, but, you know, I'm not – it's a funny expense account community, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, the team's been there long enough that there's enough hardcore Ottawa fans. I think people are disillusioned with what's happened with the team, and I think the Heatley thing was part of it, trading him, getting nothing for him. The stars there aren't stars anymore, Spezza and Alfredson. You know, probably the best they can say in Ottawa right now is their team's a little better than the Leafs, and that's not a whole lot to brag about or base a season ticket campaign.
Okay, but compare Ottawa to Toronto, okay? Both old Canadian Ontario towns. You can put a dog show out there at either the old Maple Leaf Gardens or the current ACC, and you get a full house. Why isn't it that the same in Ottawa? Like, what is special about Toronto or dumb?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting question. I mean, Toronto's just so much bigger, so you can appeal to so many more sectors of the population, for one. And I would think, it remains, years after being built, that arena's not in Ottawa. And I've often, you go by downtown Ottawa, you see the things that are going on. I think you look at other leagues and other sports where all the arenas go downtown and become engines to drive city economies. Well, this is driving the economy, I guess, but way out in the burbs in Canada. And I still think that hurts. But, I think you're dealing with just hugely different sized markets, Toronto and Ottawa.
Now, I was told that Brian Burke sees the ghost of Harold Ballard every Christmas like Scrooge. What's the story with, and I guess good for Brian Burke, although I question why the NHL doesn't do it, but Brian Burke announced at the NHL Board of Governors meetings his continuance of his pre-Christmas trade freeze. So it kicks in at 11:59 p.m. on Thursday, and that's 10 days before the NHL-wide shutdown. It ends at 12:01 a.m. on December 28th. Why doesn't the NHL do this if it's such a good idea? Why just Brian?
Well, I mean, the NHL does do it, but just not for as long. And I guess he's always done it. He's a contradictory guy sometimes, where you see him as hard-nosed and driving and looking for wins at any cost. And then all of a sudden he'll turn around and do something that is clearly player-friendly at a time when, the players are about to get a new union leader and probably get hard-nosed back to the NHL. So
is this the style?
I think he sees himself as a player-friendly GM. He banks on that players want to play for him, and that's how he gets them. He's always done it, so it's not special to Toronto. I don't think it's a competitive advantage or disadvantage, but I am absolutely sure that the players appreciate it because, we watch these guys and we see them score or not score, or make big saves or not big saves. But they do have families, and when guys get traded, look at a guy like Francois Beauchemin, whose name's been out there a little bit. He's got a young boy playing hockey in Toronto. He's got a family. He's bought a house. For him to get, to get traded, say, next week sometime, it'd mean huge upheaval for him. I think players do appreciate it.
What's wrong with the rest of the league? Why isn't this initiated, this Burkean oasis of no trading, no dealing, this, Christmas warm and fuzzy? Why isn't the rest of the league doing it? I mean, good for general manager Burke, but why doesn't the rest of the league do it? To me, it's a competitive disadvantage to do something that the rest of the league isn't mandating. You say what?
Well, I would say that other GMs don't want their hands tied. They want maximum flexibility. Heck, probably some of them wouldn't want to freeze at all. They'd want to be able to trade a guy at any time. These days trades are so hard to make that it literally can be a team loses one night and decides to make a move the next. We're seeing that. And salary cap implications, a player comes back from injury, you have to make a move today in order to get that player back in the lineup. So I would, other GMs probably just don't want their hands tied or just don't see necessarily the need for adding on those 10 extra days.
8:11 right now. Damian Cox joins us. He's at the NHL Board of Governors meetings in Palm Beach, Florida. All right, so if Phoenix is the Desert Dogs are staying put in Arizona, what happens to a Winnipeg franchise? Are the Thrashers going to move? What are you hearing? What about Quebec City? What about
I think that's a great question because it's pretty clear that there is no NHL team that is going to relocate in the near future, assuming Phoenix gets done. Now, I'm not 100% sure on Phoenix, and if at the end of the month, this month, there's no deal done there, the NHL starts looking outside of Phoenix and that whole thing gets rolling again. But let's assume that this Michael Hulsizer guy can nail this thing down. There's not another NHL team that is set to move. Even the New York Islanders, Charles Wong, they're just running that team into the ground, but he's planning to stay there at least until the lease runs out in 2015. There was no talk, Andrew, of expansion.
Why are they making so many Wong moves on the island?
How long have you been waiting for that one?
I just came up. I finished with all my salmon jokes.
There were, by the way, some reporters from Quebec-based newspapers on hand yesterday asking a lot of questions about Quebec City. And the NHL's response is simple. We'll talk to you when you've got an arena and not before.
What if we do a deal? If Quebec stops having referendums, we build a Coliseum in Quebec City.
Well, when was the last referendum? It's been a while.
95.
95. Well,
but they want another
one. That's a reasonable break.
No, no.
I think it's time for another one.
They're getting ready. They get itchy. They get itchy. It's like Marilyn Monroe in the final stages before, you know, she did her Elvis impression. You know, she got itchy. That 7-year
sure,
itch.
I agree with that characterization.
I don't know.
I'm going to leave that one to you.
I guess it's a flawed analogy, but anyway, I tried. I'll stick with the Vietnam, Afghanistan futility argument with Phoenix.
Yeah, that was a bit tortured.
What are the options? You want labored and tortured? Welcome to my show. Damien, tell me about Burke moves or potential moves for the Leafs. What do you see out there? What are you hearing?
Well, I mean, if they win some games like they did last night, that gives them more options. Certainly the ascension to Keith Ollie to a position of somewhat more prominence on the defense gives them a bit more flexibility. The return of Dion Phaneuf sometime the next 2 weeks gives them some bodies to move. You know, they're still looking for that big body up front. There will be some nibbles around Francois Beauchemin, but my sense is that Burke views him as too valuable a veteran presence in the lineup as Phaneuf starts to learn how to be an NHL captain, that he seems really disinclined to move him. So there's not really a guy up front they can move, although I will say this. The return to form of Mikhail Grabowski, and I think we'd both agree he, you know, almost single-handedly won that game in some ways last night in Washington, you know, that there may be a team that looks at him or a Clark MacArthur and says, we need that player heading towards the playoffs. And if the Leafs aren't going to be there, those kind of guys might get valuable if they can get the kind of guys. Like, you see the moves the Jays are making right now, trading established players for young guys. And those moves might be more available to the Leafs. At some point, though, you know, this team is so young and is the youngest in the NHL, they're going to need to add some more experienced guys, particularly up front. You can only get so far with kids.
And Caberle, he can't be moved until July?
Well, no. He can't be moved until he says he can, and in July he walks as an unrestricted free agent. So at this point, the likelihood, it seems, unless he says to them, you can move me, is they won't get anything for him.
Wow. Thank you so much, Damien Cox. Really appreciate it. Our hockey insider from the NHL Board of Governors meetings in Palm Beach, Florida. Grabowski could be good trade bait. And MacArthur, if they continue their good playoff performance. Or their good performance as we miss the playoffs yet again. Okay, Sean Markham is ahead at 8:21. Don't miss that. Former Jays ace joins me. And we want to congratulate him for his great service on the mound in T.O.
If you think you know it all, tell us
already, will you?
The Sports Authority Panel.
Online at fan590.com.
Whoa! Let's just see what he's going to say next, shall we?
Wow!
Crystal Nation, awaken.
Andrew Crystal in the morning
on Toronto Sports Radio.
The Fan 590.
Well, I wasn't in tears, but close to it. Taken aback by Sean Markham. It's official now. He's in Milwaukee, but we got him. We got him for you here this morning. And I want to open up the phone calls. Sean Markham, one of my favorite Jays ever. And as a Jays fan, I really feel bad about losing Sean Markham. And Sean, thanks for joining us here on the Fan 590 this morning.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
This is a classic Markham moment from May.
Full count pitch. Swing and a miss. He just struck out the side. Sean Markham has a wonderful 1-2-3 inning. That's his first here tonight.
All right. Did this trade to Milwaukee come as a surprise to you, Sean, given you were the opening day starter for the Jays just last year?
Yeah, it definitely did. You know, talking with Alex as the season ended and talking with, you know, with the coaching staff and stuff as the season was going down and leading into the off season, it was something that they wanted me to be a part of the organization for a few years to come and try to help that, you know, the Blue Jays won a championship, but unfortunately baseball and is a weird game and trades happen and you know, now I just gotta move on. But you know, I think the city's in good hands up there. They got a good group of players, and I think they're heading in the right direction. And I think they're a lot closer than people think they are.
Well, on behalf of Jays fans everywhere across this country, I want to thank you, Sean Markham, for incredible service on the mound. You made everybody proud, and we're not happy about losing you. Let me tell you that. Now, you went 13-8 with a 3.64 ERA last season coming off Tommy John surgery. And I want you, if you can, to talk about your journey over the last couple of years, going from being out of baseball due to injury to opening day starter, now to the Milwaukee Brewers.
It was tough to swallow when I got the news in 08 that I was going to have the surgery. Never had to go through a major surgery, so on that aspect of it, it was tough knowing that you're going to be without the game you love for, you know, 12 to 18 months. And for me, it was, you know, the latter there, the 18 months. So I was without it for a full year. At the same time, you know, I got to spend time with my family and see my kids grow up a little bit. And then, you know, worked hard and got back to try to be the pitcher that I know I can be and help that ball club win ball games last year. And it was tough, the mental part of it, the rehab and the surgery. But once I stepped on the field there in Arlington that day, opening day, it was a lot of hard work that finally paid off. And it was a lot of fun to be a part of.
Are you emotional about this?
I was the other day. I'm getting a little head sick right now. My whole family's sick, so that's why I feel like I'm stopped up and everything. But I was a little emotional on Sunday when Alex called.
Talk to me about that conversation with Alex Anthopoulos.
You know, it was weird because I was out at I have season tickets to the Kansas City Chiefs, so I was out at the game, and he called and I texted him back because you can't hear anything in Arrowhead, especially when they're playing Denver. So. I texted him back and told him I was out of the game and wondered if I could call him when I got home or if I could call him on Monday, and he said no, he needed to talk to me to find a quiet place. So I went up the stairs and found a quiet place, and then he told me I was traded. That it was a deal that, you know, he didn't want to make, but he had to for the organization, which I understand. They're getting, from what I hear, a pretty good player back. So it was tough. He said it was hard for him to do, but he had to do it for the organization, and I respect that. And, you know, like I said, it's baseball. Things can happen. And so that was pretty much it. And then flew to Milwaukee yesterday and had the physical and became official last night.
You know, we always beat people up, players up for their loyalty. And then we know that, you know, trading is a part of the game. Will you miss T.O.?
Oh, absolutely. I've enjoyed my time there. I love the city, love the fans, loved everything about Toronto. There's not one thing I could say about the city that I didn't like. Everybody up there was great to myself and my family, and it's definitely going to be a place that's missed.
Sean Markham, do you feel a sense of relief getting out of the AL East and away from the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Rays?
I wouldn't call it relief. I thought, you know, facing those guys, you always want to face the best. And, you know, I think facing those guys for the last 3-4 years made me a better pitcher. And, you know, hopefully it shows when I go to, you know, the National League Central and try to help the Milwaukee Brewers win ball games. But it's definitely a tough division to be in. But, like I said, I've learned a lot from facing those guys. And hopefully, you know, I know the guys up there, the starting staff up there is going to continue and improve and help the Blue Jays get to where they want to go. But like I said earlier, trades are part of it, and I'm going to go to Milwaukee and try to help those guys win ball games.
Sean Markham, are you excited about hitting now in your career? You're 1-for-10. I think you've got a double in RBI and 2 walks.
I wouldn't call it excitement. I don't. Once I got up in the box last year, I was like, I don't know how you guys do this. It's tough to do, you know. But and I probably won't be hitting a lot. It'll be more bunting. But I'm going to do whatever. You know, Josh Reneke's his uncle is the new manager in Milwaukee, so I'll do whatever he tells me to do. If he wants me to bunt, I'm going to bunt, and I'm going to swing away when I get the opportunity, but more importantly, I'm going to go up there and pitch and try to help those guys win.
Other than hitting, any other adjustments in the National League? Are you thinking about your pitching in any way differently?
No, not really. The only thing different I could say right now is I got to learn the hitters all over again. You know, you face, you know, the American League East for 4 years, so you kind of get a book on all the hitters. Obviously, sometimes that book didn't work out to my advantage, but you got to start over again and watch a lot more film and try to get an idea of what those hitters like to do. But other than that, I'm gonna be myself. I'm gonna stay the same. I'm gonna throw strikes. mixing mile speed pitches and, you know, just go out there and battle and compete.
Sean Markham, what do you take away from playing with the Jays and T.O.?
I mean, there's so much. You know, I made a lot of great friends up there. It was a great organization. I mean, there's just so much. I don't know if I have time to say it all, but I mean, everything. I mean, it's a first-class organization, the way they treated us, my family. I mean, it was a fun to be a part of, and they're definitely going to be missed. But, you know, that's baseball, and we got to move on.
How did your family take it?
My parents were pretty excited. Now they can hop on a plane, and it's only like an hour flight. My wife kind of hit hard with her. She made a lot of good friends up there as well. My kid, he didn't really understand. My oldest one, he didn't understand. I told him we were going to be a Brewer, and he wouldn't know what a Brewer was. And then I told him, he said he wanted to be a Blue Jay. So that was tough. But you know, it was definitely a tough day, and something, you know, the more I've thought about it, it's, you know, I come to realize that it is baseball. Anything can happen. Nobody's guaranteed to stay in one city for their whole career, and we just got to move on.
It's your 29th birthday in exactly 1 week, Sean Markham. What are you going to do?
I'll be in Milwaukee for a press conference. I just found that out last night. So my birthday present, I guess, my wife's taking me to Milwaukee.
So anything you're doing outside of baseball to get your mind off things? Like, how do you approach this? Does this stress you out? Like, what's going on in your mind right now?
You know what? I was... I'm not doing a whole lot of, we're not doing any traveling or anything. Started working out hard about 2 weeks ago. And, so that's pretty much what I've been doing, trying to get ready for this season. And, actually, you know, this morning, that's where I'm about to head when I get off the phone with you guys to go work out and, do that stuff. But that's pretty much my off season. We don't, if we do a vacation, it's usually right after the season ends. Then when November comes around, it's time to get ready for the upcoming season. And my wife understands that, and she's been great at letting me do that.
Sean Markham, if it's any consolation, I've had hundreds of emails. People are down about this. They're downcast. They're sad to see you go, Sean Markham. People love you here.
Well, like I said, I loved the city. I loved everything about being up there, and it was a great experience for me and something I'm definitely going to miss. And I can't say that. I can say this from the bottom of my heart that I do think they're going to contend, and I think it's going to be sooner than later.
I wish you were still here, Sean Markham. All the best to you and your family, sir, and thank you so much for being such a great Blue Jay.
I appreciate it, guys.
All the best. Sean Markham, our ace, going to the Milwaukee Brewers. It's official. We got Brett Lowry back. 8:33 right now on the Fan 590. Love that, Sean Markham. Great guy, too. Not feeling well, comes on the air to talk to the fans. You know, this is a good egg. I was going to say something else. Starts with SH. He's a good, right? Love Sean Markham. He's a gamer. Good person. Like, good, great athlete, good person. Speaking of great people, one of my
favorites.
That's
what we're getting back in return, though.
Michael Pinball Clemens. I love Sean Markham.
Hey,
look, Michael Pinball Clemens, go to Triple W. Oh, we know it's Triple W. Go to fan590.com. Why did I say that? Everybody knows it's Triple W. Only in retirement homes do they say WWW.
Just in case you weren't sure how that started.
Anyway,
or worked.
Look, go to fan590.com. Michael Pinball Clemens, check it out. Michael Pinball Clemens Foundation, donate. He's doing great things. Give the gift of giving, which is giving people a life. Building schools in Africa. Good for Michael Pinball Clemens, and please participate. Mike Apple, what's going on in the money game, you greedy bastard?
Oh, like me. Like it's me.
You represent capitalism.
Is that what I represent?
It's you. It's you, sir.
Target on my back.
Yeah, right, you inside dealer, you.
Yeah, your investment in gold is worth more. Sorry, that's JR's investment in gold.
He's got a lot of gold.
Yeah, 1,429 at last check.
Roenick is stacked with gold bars.
$13 at a record high. Your investment in canned peas...
My canned peas?
Not so much.
Plastic puke whoopee cushions. That's my investment.
See, again, it's an acquired taste. And maybe with some gravy.
I made some bad investments.
Maybe gravy so cures all,
two,
really.
Two bad investments. The electric car company in the Middle East, a bust. Right? Silly putty sexual aids.
Yeah, probably
failure.
Not. No.
Failure.
Not a good idea.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And now canned peas.
That's my
solution to the apocalypse. Del Monte company probably doesn't agree
my
with
my solution to the apocalypse, brother.
Yeah. Built the bunker, have you?
So
listen,
I'm
things
working
are pretty
at it.
Good this morning. Things are pretty good this morning, you naysayer, doom and gloomer.
Sorry.
Yeah. You know what? Global economy showing some strength, a little bit at least. Markets on the rise worldwide. The Obama administration has extended the tax cuts to the rich.
You see, the United States' structural deficit is now an even more danger.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right? So I mean, they're so screwed, and now they can't get any more tax revenue, right?
But the theory is...
And Obama, I don't know what he's doing with this.
They will create jobs.
And with
jobs.
Look, some of the
greatest... It'll take 4 to 5 years.
It's that range of... if you tax too much, then you lose revenue. And if you don't tax enough, you lose revenue. It's that right.
And
dynamic
if you tax
range
more,
you
they'll figure out ways to get around it anyway.
And one of the great investors of our time says that the U.S. should be taxing more.
Price for oil.
Warren Buffett.
Price for... said he supported that. Obama in the first place.
We have to go.
Price for oil, $90 plus per barrel. Dollars up ahead of the Bank of Canada decision on interest rates. No change expected.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Michael Apple. Appreciate it. Hey, I had one of my favorites from City TV, Gord Martin, and we'll talk about the late, great Mark Daly as we mourn his loss. It's all ahead for you here.
Your discretion is advised.
I love Mark Daly and miss Mark Daly. God bless you. And all the condolences we can muster for your family, the Daly family. So Gord Martin, now one of my favorites. He's next. Must witness the listless Raptors losing to Indiana 124-100 last night. He joined us from New York City where the Raptors face the Knicks tomorrow night. They are still in the playoff hunt. 8:48 right now on the Fan 590. I was disappointed to hear of the passing. Well, maybe not strong enough a word. I was stopped in my tracks and saddened by the loss of Mark Daly. Joining us now, veteran anchorman from City, Gord Martineau. Gord, thank you for joining me on the Fan 590 this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
We've been thinking about Mark all morning.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a wonderful career.
Yep.
You worked with him for so many times.
31 years.
What are your favorite memories of Mark? What will you miss the most?
His sense of humor. I mean, aside from his tremendous professionalism and his sense of perspective about the job, he had a great sense of humor. And what that did was it enabled people to de-stress about situations. Because, you know, in newsrooms are sometimes very dark places. You see and hear things that will never see the light of day. And sometimes that can add to the stresses of performing your daily duties. But he had a perspective on it, and, you know, with a one-liner, he could take all the steam out of a great argument. And he was leaned on heavily for that, as well as his, as I mentioned, total professionalism toward the job. I mean, I sat at his desk yesterday. His desk and mine are right beside each other. I sat at his desk yesterday and opened his top drawer, and wouldn't you know, there's a file on old murder cases. I mean, the guy just... he lived the job, you know.
Veteran crime reporter Mark Daly passing yesterday at 57 years of age.
Uh-huh.
A young age to lose somebody.
Yeah.
How were you able to sit at his desk and go through his things, Gord? That's tough.
Well, I talked to him. You know, even though he had passed, I was still talking to him. And his nickname was Sparky because, a little aside, he took it upon himself to organize the City TV baseball team many years ago. And so we thought, okay, he must be Sparky Anderson then. So the nickname stuck. And so I just, I talked to him. I said, Sparky, I'm going through your desk here. Let's see what's in the drawers. And of course, everything was neatly stacked, you know, like a bunch of pens with an elastic band around them. But he had a file on old murder cases. And I thought, you know, he just, unsolved cases. And he was just the type of guy that wouldn't let something go like that. He just thought that maybe somehow, some way, he could figure something out and pass it along to police and you know, that it might be helpful. But that's who he was. That's Mark Daly to a T.
Mark Daly was more than just a great reporter for City. He also became the voice of City TV and really the voice of Toronto. And there's a lot of great voices in broadcasting, but there was something special about Mark Daly's pipes.
Yep. When he first started in the business, he was working. He's from Ohio, and he was working at radio stations in that state, and then found himself at CKLW Windsor which at the time was known as the Big Eight, and it was a powerhouse radio station. And it basically was considered a Detroit radio station. Then he moved to Chum in Toronto and really found his niche there. And then he decided to take a crack at TV. And at the time, City TV was in the midst of assembling people who were quirky and unusual. We didn't want your day-to-day reporters that everyone else has. We wanted reporters who had distinct personalities and were unique in some way. And he certainly fit that bill.
I saw Mark Daly at the Shepherd Club at Young and Shepherd going back in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And he was introducing bands and on stage. I mean, what a lively life. He did all those hours at City TV, and then he'd still have time to do so much in the community.
Yeah, lively is a good way to describe him because, yeah, he loved to be out there and being with the people. And he loved music. I mean, he was a big fan of you know, the Motown days. And, you know, was quite a singer himself.
Yeah, he was.
Not a lot of people are aware of that, but the guy had a great voice. Aside from great speaking voice, he could sing really well. And so, that's him.
When I think of Mark Daly as a viewer, Gord Martineau, I think of Mark with his extemporaneous introductions to movie clips where he'd be, you know, wasn't that great? He would do like a quick mini review before the movie.
Yep.
It's not a bad movie at 8 o'clock. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's okay.
But that fits with his personality. And it's something that you would never have heard or seen anywhere else. But we believed in being unique and original. And let's face it, some movies stink. And he would say it, you know, and you know, and that just it made the whole thing funny. And it almost made you want to watch the movie to see how bad it really was.
And Mark knew them all, too. Yeah. A wonderful mind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was so quick with a comeback. And like I say, his sense of humor was completely inappropriate for broadcast. But as I said, newsrooms are dark places.
They are.
You know, and you see and hear things that the public will never have a chance to see and hear, and that's probably a good thing. But, you know, he would use his sense of humor to take the specter, the doom away from it, the negativity. And we leaned on him for that heavily, and I don't know what we're going to do.
What's your funniest moment with Mark Daly, Gord Martineau?
You know, there were many, and I can't really tell you a lot of them on the air, but but you know, he was such a funny guy. And, you know, a lot of people see him as being somewhat straight-laced, and he was. But boy, what a wicked sense of humor! He was so great with a one-liner, and he was really quick. You could say something, and the answer come back almost as soon as it was out of your mouth. You
know? A protagonist in a crime novel.
Oh yeah, no question about it. He was like from the old Jack Webb movies, you know, from Dragnet. That was Mark Daly.
Gord, thank you for this.
Thank you.
Gord Martineau, one of my favorites. Veteran City TV anchorman Gord Martineau talking about the late, great City News anchor and reporter Mark Daly, who passed away yesterday at 57. 8:55 right now. Jeff Blair joins us with a preview of his fabulous broadcast, The Jeff Blair Show on The Fan 590.